Have you offered up a praise since you've been in his house tonight? Amen. Turn in your Bibles tonight to Matthew chapter 5 in our series, Your Blessed Life Now, the Sermon on the Mount. This evening we're going to look at the next beatitude in verse 6, Matthew 5 and verse 6. Tonight we're going to talk about spiritual hunger, but we're going to talk about wanting more of what feels. Wanting more of what feels. What truly feels. Amen. Let's pause for prayer. Father, help us tonight. Jesus, you're the one that gave us this sermon. You spoke it long ago. It's just as applicable today, Lord. And I pray that we leave here having heard your voice through the presentation of the word tonight. Lord, help our hearts to be stirred in a deep way. In Jesus' name, amen. Hunger, wanting more of what feels. Let's read this, and perhaps you can remain seated tonight for the Bible study, but if you just read this verse, this beatitude with me all over the building together. Blessed are they which do hunger. Let's start again. Okay. Maybe let's read it together out loud. Okay. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. You know, teenagers are magicians. Anyone that's had teenagers, you know that. They can make food disappear like that. I mean, 3 jugs of milk, they're gone. 10 boxes of cereal, they're gone. They're just, I don't know how they do it, just vanish. And today I had Andrew with me, and we went out and ate, and we had the big bowl of Mexican food, and then we went to his school there to sign up for some classes, and they had free wrap sandwiches, and so he got one of them. And then it's, you know, it's just a little ways home, 15 minutes home, when we get home, and he starts pouring himself a bowl of cereal. I said, "What are you doing that for?" He said, "I'm hungry." I said, "You can't be hungry." And I don't have to give you $5 for the illustration because I've spent it on the cereal. But when he did that, I thought, what if we had spiritual hunger like that? Well, we just had service. Well, I want more. Just read a scripture. I want to read another one. Just had a sermon. I want to hear another one. Spiritual hunger. Now, I want to challenge you tonight. When you think of somebody either in the Bible or in history, or somebody you know or have known, and if you looked at them as someone spiritual, it was never somebody who acted as if they had already arrived. They already had it all together. They already had everything they needed. If you deem somebody in your life, either from history, like I said, or presently, as spiritual, if you think about it, you're thinking of somebody that's always wanting more spiritually. They're always hungering. They're always thirsting for you. Isn't that right? If you think of someone being spiritual, they're a person that's always in pursuit of more of God. Amen. Do you realize physically how much time each day we spend? I'm talking about physically. Each day, how much time we spend thinking about, talking about, responding to, eating and drinking? I mean, people can go on for half the day talking about a cup of coffee. Have you ever noticed that? We spend so much time talking about physical food. What if we were as motivated by spiritual hunger and thirst? I hear it all day. If you listen to folks, you're constantly, somebody saying, "I'm hungry." Somebody else saying, "I'm thirsty." And there's nothing wrong with that. We're made that way. But wouldn't it be wonderful if that was the spiritual condition? People walking in the foyer, "I'm hungry." "Well, didn't you eat before you came to church?" I'm not talking about natural food. I'm talking about I'm hungry for something from heaven. I'm so thirsty tonight for God's Spirit. This is what Jesus is addressing. And before we look at it any further, I want you to note something. These are Beatitudes, and sometimes we take them by themselves and take them one package at a time, but they come together. And this will just be a quick review as well, but in verse 3, Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." Did you know nobody is spiritually hungry and thirsty unless they first of all are poor in spirit? And quick review, to be poor in spirit, someone's poor in spirit when they aren't self-sufficient. They see their need. They don't think they've arrived. They understand they need more. So I can't be hungry and thirsty unless I'm poor in spirit. And then Jesus said, "Blessed are they that mourn." And we discussed this. To mourn means to mourn over your sins, mourn over the part of you that's not like God. And did you know I'll never hunger and thirst spiritually until I mourn over the wrong of my life? And then Jesus said in verse 5, "Blessed are the meek." And we talked about that. To be meek is to have control of yourself and control of your emotions and power under control. If my emotions, if I'm just letting them fly off the handle all the time, I'm not a person who has spiritual hunger and desire. And so we got to take this as a joint thing. People who hunger and thirst are those that are poor in spirit, they mourn over the wrong in their life, and they are meek. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. And so first of all, I want to talk about what does it mean to hunger and thirst? What does it mean? And again, the verse said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst." What does that mean? Well, first of all, I want you to notice that this is not just a state somebody's in. It's a pursuit. You say, how are you saying that? Because notice Jesus did not say, "Blessed are the hungry and the thirsty." That would just be a comment on their condition. He didn't say, "Blessed are the hungry and the thirsty." He said, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst." That's active. That's a pursuit. That's something that we do. And it reminds me of what the psalmist said in Psalm 42. He said, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" That's an active thing. I believe for believers, hunger and thirst ought to be an active thing in our life. It's a pursuit. I know with this message, I could spend a lot of time paralleling physical hunger and physical thirst to spiritual hunger and thirst. But even a toddler knows what hunger and thirst is. You really don't have to describe those things. You know what they are. But very simply, I'm not going to spend a lot of time with that, but very simply, hunger and thirst, take those two things. Hunger and thirst are sensations when the body is demanding something it needs to survive. You realize that? Hunger and thirst are physical sensation when the body's demanding something it needs to survive. Now, I said I wouldn't go into it, but let me just give you one little thing. Every time our stomach growls, that's not true hunger. That's you just trained it that way. You train it when we train our stomach. But when true hunger sets in and true thirst sets in, those are sensations that tell you your body needs something in order to survive. You know what spiritual hunger and thirst are? They are sensations of our soul and heart and inner person that tells us we need some things to spiritually survive. That's what the hunger and thirst is. And, you know, we look at it and we say, now, look, that's a bad thing. Think about, you know, how many hates to think of somebody going hungry? I hate that. And physically, hunger and thirst is a bad thing, isn't it? It's bad when people go hungry. It's bad when people are thirsty. But spiritually, it's a good thing when people are hungry. It's a good thing when people are thirsty. Jesus said they're blessed. Why is spiritual hunger and thirst a good thing? Well, first of all, because it means there's life. This is going to be real deep. You ready for this? Rocks don't get hungry. Isn't that deep? You know why rocks don't get hungry? They're not alive. You have to be alive to get hungry. What's one of the first things, and I'm not talking about when life begins. I'm talking about existence. What's one of the first things a baby wants to do when it's born? It wants to eat. We enter the world wanting to eat. Why? Because that is a sign of something that's alive. It wants to eat. Amen. Now, I could talk here all night. I'm not going to. I'm just going to say one other thing. But there's a difference between being empty and being hungry. You said, what's the difference? Well, empty, your gas tank can be empty, but it doesn't have a sensation of hunger because it's not alive. I want to tell you, some folks are empty tonight, but they have no sensation of spiritual hunger. And it's because they're not spiritually alive. They're empty, but they're not spiritually alive, and they don't recognize that they have hunger. Can you say amen this evening? So spiritual hunger and thirst is a good thing. It means that there's life. Secondly, it means that there is health. It means that there is health. One of the first questions a doctor will ask you is, how's your appetite? I'm going to tell you, you know, being with the sick, visiting the sick, being in and out of nursing homes and hospitals and things, whenever you hear from the family that the person who's sick has lost their appetite, they're in bad shape, right? Physically. When somebody loses their appetite, they're in bad shape physically. You know how you can tell when you're in bad shape spiritually? It's when you lose your appetite for the things of God. Amen? When you're no longer hungering and thirsting after spiritual things. Let me tell you something else how it works in the spiritual realm. Spiritual appetite is almost always evidenced. Let me back up. I didn't say that quite right. The loss of spiritual appetite is almost always evidenced by an increase in carnal appetite. The loss of spiritual hunger is almost always evidenced by an increase in carnal hunger. I mean, it can run like things like this. Someone becomes more interested in the amusement park on Sunday than church on Sunday. More interested in worldly songs than in Christian songs. More interested in unsaved and running with unsaved friends than being with Christian friends. More interested in things like movies than reading the Word of God. More interested in what's on their cell phone instead of what's in the sermon. Amen. You can tell the loss of spiritual appetite by the increase of carnal appetite. Let me tell you, I'm not here and I'm not throwing stones, but I want to tell you, in our culture, in America, Great Britain, in our culture, why, first of all, we quit having midweek prayer meeting and Bible study, and then we begin to quit having Sunday night service. People can talk about whatever they want, give whatever excuse, but the end analysis in our culture, why we quit having those, is because people lost spiritual hunger. Right? You know, I want to think about this one more time and I'll move on. Spiritual hunger and thirst is a good thing. It means spiritual health. You know, sometimes we look at it wrong. We see people in the church that every time the conviction's here, every time the preaching goes forth, they're the first to respond. I mean, they'll head right to the altar. Man, something wrong with them. Or it's somebody that's always, they're one of the first ones to start worshiping or pressing in or saying, I want more of God. And we say, oh, there's something wrong with them. No, it's the opposite. It's people who never feel a need to respond to the preaching. It's those who don't feel a need to press in and worship. It's those that don't feel the need to show up and pray before a service. Those are the ones that's in trouble. The ones that's coming to the altar and praying and exhibiting that spiritual hunger, they're the ones that's in better spiritual health because appetite is a sign of health. And so not only is spiritual hunger and thirst good because it's a sign of life, it's a sign of spiritual health, but it means there is growth. If you've had children, whether they're infants to teenagers, you've said this. I mean, I've already talked about one of ours, but you know those times. All of a sudden, you cannot fill them up. They eat, 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 eat. I mean, there's only three of us, but we can go through six or eight boxes of cereal just like that and eat, 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 eat. And one of the things we'll say to one another is, you know, Dad and Mom is getting ready to go through a growing spell. That's what happens with the young infants on up. When they start eating like that, they're fixing to go through a growing spell. They're going to get a growing spurt. I want to tell you, when I see folks spiritually hungry, they can't seem to get enough of the preaching. They can't seem to get enough Bible reading. They can't seem to get enough praying and going to special services and listening and to the religious radio. And when they can't seem to get enough, you know what? You know who I'm looking at? I'm looking at somebody that's about to have a spiritual growing spurt. Amen. Spiritual hunger and thirst is good. It's how we grow. We partake because we're hungry and we grow. Second question tonight. For what should one hunger and thirst? What is it we should hunger and thirst after? Let's look at our text again. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now, I want you to look at that carefully. Look at the words. They're very important. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. It does not read, Jesus did not say, righteous are those who hunger and thirst after blessings. Does it say that? Did you know much of our church world is taught that today? Boy, you're spiritual if what you're after is a blessing. You're spiritual if what you're after is an anointing. You're spiritual if what you're after is some special ability. Jesus never said that. He said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after, say it with me, after what? Righteousness. You're not hungry and thirsty for blessing, for success, for material things, for special gifts, but you're hungry and thirsty after righteousness. Now, isn't it interesting? It doesn't say hungry and thirsty after God. It says righteousness. And I believe there's a lot of reasons for that, but I truly believe somebody that's really in hungering and spiritually thirsty, I'm not talking about someone unconverted, I'm talking about the believers, you have found God already or you wouldn't be hungering and thirsting that way. We're going to find out in a moment that's the way it works. You would think, and you keep this in mind, we'll get back to, but you would think, and here's the paradox, you would think finding God would take away hunger and spiritual thirst. It's the opposite of that. When you find God, you'll have growing hunger and thirst. And we'll see how that works in a moment. But you have God. And so we hunger and thirst after righteousness. Now let me try to take something that's really tough theological that you could take a lot of time to explain, but just try to say it in just a few sentences. We're not talking about salvation here. Righteousness and salvation. You don't seek after that and obtain it because you sought for it real hard. Amen. We are made righteous when we place our faith in Jesus Christ and the work he accomplished on the cross. We are righteous. We preached a little bit about that Sunday morning. We're righteous. We don't have to seek by our works to become righteous. We are righteous in the eyes of God. But to hunger and thirst after righteousness is to live out the righteousness of God that's in our life. It's to live it. It's to think it. It's to be it. He has declared us righteous. He has declared us his children. He has declared us his. And we're hungry and we're thirsting that his godliness and righteousness should be a part of all of our lives. Let me put it just very simply. To hunger and thirst after righteousness is to desire God in a way that I live godly, I think godly, I feel godly, I desire godly. Or we could just boil it down to this. To hunger and thirst after righteousness is having something in your heart that says, I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like him. And in theological terms, we're not talking about salvation here. We're talking about sanctification. Wanting to live out the work that God has got in our heart. If I had time, I would go to all of Philippians 3, but you can go there. You know what Paul said? I mean, he's saved. He said, but I still follow after. And oh, it's a wonderful passage. I don't have time to get into it, but one thing Paul said explains this. Paul said, I want to get a hold of what got a hold of me. Amen. That's hunger and thirst after. God got a hold of you. He saved you. He declared you righteous. And now you want to get a hold of what got a hold of you. That's hungering and thirsting after right. Oh, to live God. You know, this idea is totally foreign in our world and much of the church, to have a driving hunger and desire to have enough of God that you live godly, you think godly, you feel godly. And so the hungering and thirsting is not after special powers or wonderful blessings or a spiritual reputation. It's a desire to have His righteousness come out in all of our life and living. I wonder, though, two things. I can't help read this, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, without thinking of a verse later in Jesus' sermon. How remembers in chapter 6 when he said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. The problem with people today, they're hungering and thirsting after the other things and never get the righteousness. But Jesus said, if you'll hunger and thirst after the righteousness, you'll have the other things in your life. And since this is a context of the Sermon on the Mount, I wonder when Jesus says righteousness, if he's not thinking about how we treat other people as he goes on to preach in this sermon. He said, if we know our brother has something odd against us, if you're at the altar and you're reminded that your brother or sister has something against you, you leave your gift at the altar, you go your way, you be reconciled to your brother or sister. That's hungering and thirsting after righteousness. He said we shouldn't lust after those that aren't our spouse. And so, if I'm hungry and thirsty after righteousness, that will not be a part of my life. He said, we're not just to love our neighbors. He said, we're to love our enemies. Pray for them that despitefully use us. And so, if we're seeking, hungering, thirsty after righteousness, we're trying to love our enemies. He said, don't just be nice to people who's going to be nice to you. Be nice to those who you don't have any reason to believe you'll ever have a return from them. In another version of the sermon, another gospel, he says, you know, don't just ask somebody to dinner knowing they're going to ask you back. Ask somebody you know they're never going to return the favor. And so, hungering and thirsting after righteousness is to have God so much a part of our life that we treat one another the way Jesus has encouraged us. Last of all, from this text tonight, what will happen to the one that hungers and thirsts? Look again at our text. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. It was some years ago in prayer, and I'm not telling you this is the main exegesis of this verse, but in prayer, God showed me something here. Jesus didn't say, blessed are they when they're filled, does he? Read it carefully. He said, blessed are they when they're hungering and thirsting. They shall be filled. So they're not filled yet. If they shall be filled, they're not yet filled. But they're already blessed. Did you know, whether you've received it yet or not, it is a blessing to have a heart that hungers and thirsts for God. That's a blessing. If you have spiritual hunger tonight, whether you've received necessarily the thing you're searching for, desiring for in God, whether you received it or not, if you're hungry and thirsty, you're already under the blessing of God. Amen. There's a real blessing to that. You know, in romance, there's that thing, and I'm using this in a good sense, that the quest is as enjoyable as the conquest. I mean, the pursuit, the those times. And it's that way in God. Just the fact that you're caught up in God, you're hungry for God, you want the things of God, that's a blessing in of itself, whether you received everything yet or not. How many has ever noticed, I'm talking to folks to be honest, that you've, be honest over this building, that one, you know, you've known God and you've experienced His presence. Have you ever noticed those times, when all of a sudden you recognize your soul really wasn't hungry for God anymore? Think about that. Have you had those times you recognize you really weren't thirsty for spiritual things? Didn't that bother you? Wasn't that an awful thing to realize when you were in church and yet you had no spiritual desire at the moment? Didn't that bother you? Didn't it upset you? See, you're not blessed when you don't have hunger and thirst. On the other hand, I want you to think of the times in your life when you just had such a hunger for the things of God. Wasn't life a lot more worth living? Didn't everything seem better at church and at home and in the Bible? I mean, you opened your Bible and God spoke to you. I remember a time, I hadn't planned on sharing this, but I want to share it. I remember a time at Bible school, I was never one that could go on these long fasts. Second day, I'd start fainting all the time, faint, like a fainting goat or something. But anyway, the big meal of the time, the home-cooked kind of meal, you know, the big staple meal, was noon. And so I talked to the Lord, and I said, well, I can't go on those long fasts, so I'll just go through this period of time. I won't eat lunch, and I'll go to the chapel and pray. And I began to seek the Lord. And, it was a wonderful thing, the spiritual hunger that came into my heart. Even before this thing happened, I'm about to tell you, I just so enjoyed those times. It was just different when the hunger for the Lord is there, the thirst. And there came a period for several days I'd get down to pray, and I would just say, Jesus. And there was such a sense of His presence that would come over me. I couldn't even say another word. I wouldn't even remember how much time passed. I wouldn't give those times up for anything. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst. On the other hand, those periods of times for the soul when there's no spirit, I'm alarmed. I don't feel blessed. I feel in bad shape. I feel unhappy with myself. It's a joyful feeling. It's an adventuresome feeling. It's a thrilling feeling when I have active hunger and thirst in my heart for God. Think of the difference it makes in one church service. Coming to church service, no spiritual hunger and thirst, active spiritual hunger and thirst, and a 30-minute Bible study can seem like 6 hours of chemistry class. Right? No active spiritual hunger and thirst, we sing Love Lifted Me, bored out of our socks. It's no fun without spiritual hunger and thirst. Come to pray and nothing there, that's fun. All you get is sore knees. But isn't it different when you come into the house of God with spiritual hunger and thirst? Oh, hallelujah. Someone say amen. What will happen when one hungers and thirsts? They'll be blessed, but they'll also be filled. Ultimately, the desire will be met. Amen. And we could talk a lot about what that means when we're finally filled. But I just want to deal with that paradox for a moment. Only Jesus can satisfy our souls. How many can honestly agree with the song of things I've had my fill, and yet I hunger still empty and bare? Lord, hear my prayer for more of you. Amen. And so the question is, if Jesus satisfies the soul, having found Jesus, why would the believer still hunger and thirst? Think about it. We preach it. We say it. Only Jesus will satisfy the soul. You found Jesus. Why would you then hunger and thirst, amen, anymore? Well, I want to tell you something, and this is what the world doesn't get. There is a difference between partaking and, because it did not satisfy, to continue to hunger. The difference between that and partaking and because it satisfied, you're hungry for more. You see, that's the way it is with the things of the world. You partake, and it doesn't satisfy, so you're hungry for more, thinking, if I could just have more of that, or more of that, or more of that, then that would satisfy. That's the world's way. But with God, it's you're hungry, you find Him, and when you have tasted that the Lord is good, you're hungry for more of Him. Amen? And more of Him. And more of Him. That is a spiritual paradox. The more you are filled, the more you desire, the more you hunger. Let me tell you how it works out practically. I promise you, you'll find this true. If you'll pray a true prayer, the more you pray, the more you'll want to pray. How many's found that to be true? And the converse is true. The less you pray, the less you want to pray. It's that way with spiritual things. Did you know the more you worship in church, the more you'll want to worship? It's just that way spiritually. Did you know the more of the words you read, the more you'll want to read? It's that way with spiritual things. It's because it does satisfy you hunger more, not because it doesn't satisfy, but because it does. Amen. It does satisfy. Amen. Would you read it with me one more time as the musicians come? Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You know, I've noticed something. I'll share these two things as we're getting things together. But first of all, this is not scientific. This isn't research. It's just a personal observation. I've noticed, not all, but many, when people begin to grow cold in their souls, they never just leave a void in their life. They begin to seek to fill the place God filled. They begin to seek to fill it with things out there. But have you noticed how many of those just get into food? And I'm not talking about gluttony or anything. They get into food like all the different restaurants and from post to throughout their day, they're always talking about, well, I'm going to try this new restaurant. I can't hardly why they're building this new restaurant. And I'm excited about that. And their whole lives have become nothing more than going to different restaurants and eating. That's just one way it shows itself. They're so into that. And I thought, you know, are you kidding me? Meaning in life to you has boiled down to excitement over the new restaurant? Now, others of us may get excited about that too. We all like to eat physically, but we don't find our meaning from that, our purpose. That's not what drives us. And that's true. If you're not hungry and thirsting after spiritual things, you'll end up hungry and thirsting after meaningless things, things that could never meet the deepest need of our lives. I was talking to someone Sunday, I believe it was, someone that likes to do new things. I like that in folks, you know. Take this trip, do this, go here, do that. So we got talking about their bucket list. And I'm not even sure the etymology on that. Does it mean the things you want to do before you kick the bucket? Is that where it comes from? Does it? Okay. Some people got a bucket list. You got a bucket list? You don't have a bucket list? Well, whether you got a literal one or not, I wonder tonight, how many have a spiritual bucket list? Some things you would really desire from the Lord, some things you'd like to do for Him, some things you'd like to accomplish. Amen. Do I have spiritual hunger? You know, we can make this real complex, and I'll end with this. We can make it really complex. But when I'm spiritually hungry, I'll get into this right here. If I'm not into the Word, if I'm not reading this Word, I'm not spiritually hungry. If I'm spiritually hungry, I'll pray. If I'm spiritually hungry, I want to get together in the house of God and to worship Him. Amen. We've made this, you know, if you're spiritual, you're miserable and you're sour. No. Jesus said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after, for they shall be filled. Amen. Could you stand across the building? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It would be another sermon, and I wouldn't know what to preach it right now or how to preach it. But how do you create spiritual hunger? You say, oh, wait a minute, Pastor. That's me. I wish I had more spiritual hunger. How do you create that? Well, you've already done one thing that creates it. You're here in God's house. There's times I haven't been hungry, didn't think I was hungry at all until I walked in the house and smelt the cooking. And all of a sudden, something responded. I was hungry. So you done a good thing. But to make this very simple, if you're concerned tonight because you don't feel blessed, because you don't have the, if you don't have the hunger and thirsting that you ought to have, could I just suggest we can do this. We have a choice. Can I just suggest tonight in the altar, tomorrow sometime? Can I suggest you just set aside a time and say, I don't really have a driving hunger to do this, but I'm going to pray and I'm going to really read God's word. I'm really going to read it. Can I suggest you do that? Because somehow I believe in that paradox I shared. You may not feel a thing. You may not desire a thing. But somehow I feel like if you just begin to pray and get into this word, oh, it would awaken something within you. It would awaken a hunger and a thirst. Amen. Church, you have something. You wouldn't be here tonight. There's hunger and thirst. You would be here. My heart is so concerned about so many who bear the name Christian. And literally, there's no hunger and thirst. Oh, they may want a great production or a show, but I'm talking about a hunger and thirst for righteousness. Amen. Would you come tonight? Let's let God's word settle into our hearts.